Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, once again, it is the 98.5 KTK Morning Show Recap for Monday, January 13th, 2020. Let's jump right into it. We found out about CBD oil and CBD products. Basically, there's no regulation on them at all.
Just like supplements for humans.
Yeah.
There's no regulation. So you don't know how much of that stuff you're actually getting in the product.
Right. And what CBD, of course, you know, is the oil found in hemp and marijuana, but it's not the stuff that makes you stoned or high. But they do think that it has to do with a lot of the calming properties, like people who have chemotherapy who smoke marijuana are able to eat food. So that's kind of the thought process behind it. But the problem is that since this is unregulated, especially for humans and for dogs, one bottle could have a ton of CBD oil. One can have none of it. In fact, there was a study found that at Cornell University, they analyzed a number of products and found that some had virtually no CBD oil in them at all.
Wow.
So really, it comes down to what's happening is the government is working on some rules and regulations. But basically, if you found one that works for you, you probably should stick with the brand.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that everything's okay.
Look for full spectrum, too, when you're buying that stuff. I learned that that's supposed to be big. And a friend of mine has a dog, lives in Manhattan. The dog could barely get up and down the stairs. She put it on CBD oil, and it takes about a month, I think, to kick in. The dog's running up the stairs now, so it worked very well for it.
That's incredible. Yeah. Oh. Apparently, we are washing our clothes too often. This comes from people who make washing machines.
See, that's odd. Bosch says, don't stop washing your clothes so much. Isn't that bad for business?
Now, you would think so, but apparently it's really good for the environment. They found 58% of people are not opposed to other people rewearing their clothes multiple times in a row.
Depends on which piece of clothing, right,
exactly.
Janie, didn't we? Yeah, we worked out.
If you have a tendency to sweat under the armpits, be careful how often you're wearing the shirt before washing it again.
And you can't turn your underwear inside out and get another day.
Right?
Yeah. No, really? Oh, please.
They say a quarter of the people feel pressure from society to look presentable, while 16% say worrying that wearing the clothes a second time around can leave a bad impression. I think you hit the nail on the head, Janie. When you have a little coffee stain, that's done for. But if the shirt looks like it's, you know, looks okay, if you throw it in the dryer and fluff it up, why not wear it again?
Well, the worst
especially thing. If I don't do a lot. Like, if I have a blouse that I really like that, I don't want to shrink or ruin and it's fine, like, I'm just sitting at my desk for all day, you know, I might have a little perfume on it or something,
right.
But I'll hang it back up and wear it one more time before I wash it.
The worst thing is putting stuff on and then realizing once you're out, uh-oh.
I got a
gross stain on me somewhere.
Which is why I do not buy navy colored socks anymore.
What?
Ever. Because you never know until you're outside and realize that one sock is black and the other one's navy blue.
Yeah, right.
You can't figure out which is which.
I would travel with a Tide stick, too. I got one in the car.
Oh, me too. Those things are
They really are. That works out pretty well.
By the way, Bosch saying why we should be washing our clothes less is they say, really, we're wasting water. It's bad for the environment.
Right.
Non-traditional ways to clean the toilet.
This is pretty cool. All right, here's the scenario. You get a call, and somebody's coming over, and the minute somebody who isn't part of your family comes over, you have to clean the guest toilet.
You do, because generally they're going to go into the toilet at one time or another, and if you say no, you're going to creep them out. So,
and the only time you clean the guest toilet is if somebody's actually coming over.
Exactly. Yeah. Why waste time cleaning it
exactly.
When no one's using it?
Yeah.
These are actually some ways to clean the toilet if you do not have any toilet cleaner and need to do it in a jiffy. Believe it or not, drop in a couple of Alka-Seltzers, plop, plop, let them fizz for about 15 minutes inside the toilet bowl. Give the brush a scrub and go ahead and flush it. That should clean it up.
All right.
My favorite one is a cap full of mouthwash.
You know, it's right
this
there.
Is interesting.
I keep my mouthwash actually on the back of the toilet too.
There you go.
Can't you just use the mouthwash and then spit it in the bowl?
That's multitasking,
there
my friend.
There you go, right there.
I love that. And then, believe it or not, for tough stains, the only thing I can imagine is if you've gone number two and kind of sticks to the side.
Oh, okay. That's plenty of information, Chris.
Okay.
Thanks.
You got it?
Yeah, because I would never know what you're talking about.
Use a little bit of WD-40. Apparently, if you soak it onto tough stains and leave it on there for a few minutes, it will actually come on off, off.
And what WD stands for?
WD stands for what?
Skid mark.
Skid mark.
No, it does.
Isn't that the word you were searching for, Chris?
Yes, it was the word.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, it means water displacement. But let's move on.
Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about that new TV you got. And I do have a 65-inch 4K QLED Samsung TV.
I have no idea what a couple of those words mean, but I think that's wonderful.
I loved it. I've done a little bit of research, and I used to sell TVs when I worked at Sears a long time ago.
You know, you're my go-to guy. If I buy a TV, the last two TVs I bought, you were right there consulting with me.
But there are some things that you need to consider because a lot of these TVs, they're built for a wide range, and they've gotten so cheap now, a lot of stuff that we really don't need anymore. Like, when's the last time you actually changed the color? I use the preset things on there. I'm not messing with the color of the TV. But these are three things that will make you look at the TV differently when you take it home from when the store, and it might stop you from taking the TV back because of a default setting. One of them is an old relic from the analog days, and that's noise reduction. That is generally turned on as a default. You don't need it. It's when we would have analog signals that sometimes weren't perfectly clear, you could put the noise reduction in. It would block out some of the static that was on there. Well, digital doesn't have static.
Right.
It's on or it's off. So and what happens is that that noise reduction actually is degrading your high-definition signal. So you're not getting a good picture. It's actually blurring it up.
So take that off right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you edit actual photos like that, too, it's a similar feature. If the photo itself is kind of grainy because you're, like, indoors with bad lighting or something, you can use a noise reduction filter, like, through, like an Adobe product when you're editing, but it does the exact same thing. So I would think it's very similar where you're softening the look of the photo to make it look less grainy, but at the end of the day, it's blurring it up, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And then the next one is interesting, which sounds good on paper, but is actually bad, and that's the sharpness setting. Mm-hmm. Now, that is basically it gives an artificial boost for fine detail and texture. Well, actually, what it's doing is it's muddying up your picture. It's over sharpened the images, and it can actually add a halo effect, in essence, making your picture look dirty. And then the third one, which is probably the biggest one, is going to be the motion smoothness, which, depending on what you're watching, is a good thing.
Right.
If you're watching a sports event or something that has a lot of frames, or if you have a big 65, 75, 80-inch TV, you need things to move quickly. So that is where you have that what's called the refresh rate, or it has 240 frames per second on some of the bigger TVs. Well, when you watch a movie originally was shot on 16-millimeter film. And film uses only 24 frames per second. And in essence, believe it or not, this is what the article talked about. I didn't really get into too much on the air. It actually uses your mind to fill in the gaps.
That's right.
So that's why memory.
It's called retinal retention.
Right. So that's why memory. That's why it looks kind of this rosy, picturesque look of a movie.
Well, if you think about it, when you're watching a television set, it's turning itself on and off 60 times a second. Mm-hmm. Now, your brain is filling in. If you saw it like that, you would never be able. It would look too flickery.
Yep.
But your brain actually works that out for you, so you can see it as a smooth image.
So imagine a movie. It is shot at 24 frames a second. Standard TV is shot at 60 frames a second. And if you get into some sporting events, some of them are at 120 frames a second. So you can see what happens is the TV, when it's on the softener or the what it will do is the smoothness, it'll actually duplicate the picture or even put in black frames. So in essence, it's making it look horrible. That's why sometimes if you watch movies, it looks really kind of jerky. It looks fake. It looks unreal. So what you want to do is you want to turn that off for the movie. If you're looking for a TV, you probably want to get one that has when you put it on movie setting, it automatically turns that turns the softness off or the smoothness off. But that's basically the three things you're going to want to change on your TV. And
just think of all the subliminal messaging you could put into those empty frames. If you really wanted to.
Probably.
It's like Clockwork Orange or something.
Yeah, that's very true.
We got all that information at KTK985.com, so you can follow along.
All right, you two still have your Christmas trees up.
Yes, sir.
So we have another holiday coming up. Why not make the Christmas tree the Valentine's Day tree?
I guess this could be some environmental thing where just keep that tree going, right?
Why not? According to Google Trends, searches for Valentine trees are up 88% over last year. In fact, Instagram is filled with thousands of pictures hashtagged Valentine's tree or other things like that. It's real simple, too. All you got to do is take down the Christmassy decorations, leave the red ones up, and then put little hearts, little pink things up.
Well, Storm made a good point. He's got to get all the boxes put away. Like, he's got guests and friends coming over, and you just got to, at some point, even I, in my living room right now, I've got three bins stacked to put Christmas decorations
yeah,
away.
That's exactly.
And they're
where
starting to become shelves for my clothes. Like, all my folded clothes are getting set on there. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't going to work. This is temporary.
Yeah, we have a deadline. But do it before it's a fire hazard, too.
Yeah, that's true. You definitely want that. And then finally, we learned today that in order to retire in the Sunshine State,
you have to win the lotto.
Pretty much. This is how much money you will need to survive. Once you retire, it's $843,510.
That's so you can live like another 26 years.
Yep.
And not have to, I don't know, stand in a bread line or something.
Yeah, so here it is gold banking rates. They actually calculated how much money you would actually need to retire. So let's say you take the...
This counts Social Security, too. This is, you got Social Security, then you need to also have $843,000 saved outside of that.
Right. So what they anticipate is, and you were explaining this here, when you retire and when you pull money out of your 401k, you have to pull a minimum of 4% out annually, correct?
Yeah, that's because they want to tax you on it.
Okay.
You
know? So that's what they use that as a basis, and they anticipated you being retired... for 26 years. So I imagine 65 is what they're basing you're going to retire.
But that's once you hit retirement. There are some exceptions to that. But once you hit a retirement, you're going to draw it down about 4% a year.
So basically they're saying if you retire at 65 and pull the 4% down, you'll need in your 401k or savings or Roth IRA, $843,510.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Because what does the average person have here?
Well, they found is, which is kind of scary, the person in their 40s, the average 401k savings or savings in general for retirement in a 40-year-old is $117,000. That's not nearly enough.
But somebody at 60 is only 172, which is like one-eighth of what you need.
Right. So it really kind of points out what you want to do is probably change your 401k contributions or perhaps move to Mississippi. there you only need $667,000 to survive for 26 years.
Better.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
or you can go to Biloxi and just win your retirement.
Or lose it all at one time. They also say perhaps if you do win the lottery and you want somewhere else to move, you can go to the to Hawaii, the aloha. Hey, aloha to your money. $2 million is what you need to retire there.
Yeah, but you know, if you had $2 million, that's not a bad place to be.
No, it's not. It isn't.
If they you also, had $2
million. Yeah. If you had $2 million, exactly.
That's where that lotto thing comes in.
It would be nice to win, wouldn't it? And that's our show for today. Monday, January 13th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
Remember, the sun is always shining.
Bye. Farewell. Have a good day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.